Hello, everyone, and welcome into this episode of the Bear Down Buzz podcast. As usual, myself, Eli, joined by Joe and Isaac. We did take a bit of a break, but we are back. And first, we're going to briefly discuss what happened and transpired, in the Seattle versus Chicago game. Joe, I'll toss it to you first. Your thoughts on what went down against Seattle.
Okay. Well, first, just an ugly game. They gave me hope because it was 6-3 the whole game. I figured they would some points were a touchdown. They never did. Just ugly game. But the two things I really wanted to point out that were immediate thoughts of when I was watching the game. One, I'm kind of sick of watching DeAndre Swift run the ball. Now, a lot of people think DeAndre's good. I'm one of the people that, if he has a good offensive line, which the Bears don't have, I think he's a fine running back. But also, like, there's a lot of plays, and we talk about it a lot this year, where he just doesn't attack where the blockers are, and he goes, tries to bounce outside. And I'm sick of watching him try to bounce plays outside when it's not what it's meant to do. Or, like, he just kind of thinks he could break it, and it doesn't work. Now, again, if he has a better offensive line, which hopefully they do next year, it might play better. But, like, I'm just kind of sick of seeing DeAndre Swift this year. And then the other thing that I'm kind of done with is Tyreek Stevenson. Now this was better this week because instead of getting called for a penalty, he drew a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty out of DK Metcalf and then stopped talking, which that's good growth. But also, I don't know, man. I think he's just lucky they didn't get called because they usually don't catch both people. They usually catch the second guy. And DK ended up headbutting him and, like, swiping his helmet. So that's what they caught. I mean, Tyreek's talking, which was what drew the penalty. So, like I said, he's lucky. I mean, a lot of people are giving him credit for not walking after he got headbutted. But still, he drew the penalty. And so he's the reason the penalty happened. So, like, I don't know. I get that there's the NFL and the players talk on the field trash talk, but it's, I don't know. I'm just kind of done with Tyreek, even though he is talented. I know we've talked about it a lot this year, but what are your guys' thoughts on that? And just in general about Tyreek Stevenson. I'll pass it to you, Isaac.
In regards to Tyreek Stevenson, it's kind of like how I feel when I watch Jameson Williams on the Lions, where I think to myself, like, I'm glad this guy isn't on my team because he does have those plays where he gets, like, those long touchdowns, and he is a really good athlete. Don't get me wrong on that, but there's a lot of, like, just boneheaded decisions that he makes where it's, like, 15 yards on a penalty that should have never happened in the first place. And I think ever since that Hail Mary where Tyreek Stevenson was talking to the fans on the sideline and that picture of him and everything like that, it's kind of changed my perception on him because this isn't like a new thing. He had these kind of behavioral issues in Miami, and that's why maybe he kind of fell down to the second round because of it, because he is a really talented player. But he just, like, if you're going to be that kind of player where you're going to give up penalties because of your actions, I don't know if I want this guy, like, this person on my team. Now, the Bears aren't really in a position to kind of just move off from Stevenson entirely because I do like Terrell Smith a lot, but it is nice to have depth, especially at cornerback, because cornerbacks tend to get injured throughout the season. So, I mean, at this point, it's like, I hope that he could learn to change. I don't know if it's going to happen right away, but it's just something that we're going to have to, like, monitor over time. But Joey, do you have something?
Yeah, sorry. I just thought about this comparison and let me know what you guys think. But if you guys remember Aqib Talib, it didn't happen every game. But whenever they played the Raiders, he would get in fights with Michael Crabtree. It's kind of what this feels like, except it's worse with Tyreek Stevenson. I don't know if you guys agree. But yeah. If anyone else, yeah. No, you can go ahead, Eli.
Yeah, I like the comparison. It's tough, obviously, because, you know, Aqib was a guy, and he was one of the best quarterbacks that we've seen play. But I like the comparison just because it seems like he is that physical player, and he it seems like he hasn't reined it in yet. If you can be that caliber of player with that attitude on the field and just knowing when and where you need to employ that kind of play style, I think Tyreek still has, still has a lot of talent, like you mentioned, Isaac, and he still has the opportunity to be an integral piece of this Bears defense. And I do agree with you, Joe. I don't think in that moment where you drew the penalty, I don't think that was the coaching staff has finally got to Tyreek and he's learning. I don't think the Bears are in any position to kind of show that this coaching staff is instilling discipline in a team. I think I agree with you. I think it was more of a luck thing, if anything, and it didn't go as far as it would in previous games. But yeah, with Tyreek, I think I agree with you, Isaac. He's still, there's a lot left for him to prove, but I think he can be a good piece of this Bears defense, and he is talented. But I do have something else with the Seahawks game, and really, we've talked about it all year. The offensive line is just not going to cut it. As of right now, it's backup band-aid here, third string left tackle, switch every other game kind of thing. It's injuries happen to every NFL team, and it's just a matter of what your depth looks like. And we've talked about this several times going into this season. The offensive line depth was something Ryan Poles kind of put a lot of confidence into and said that he didn't feel they needed to make any other moves, and this was the best depth that he's ever had. And we've kind of seen that the opposite is true, that this is terrible depth. This is one of the worst offensive lines in the league. I'd say even when healthy, it just seems like there's not a lot of consistency. Early in the year, when everything was kind of smooth sailing, so to speak, Coleman Shelton was getting put on his back multiple plays, even when the whole offensive line was healthy. And if your center is not great, then your interior is not great, and that goes out to the tackles. It just seems like it's not enough right now, and it's going to need to be addressed in the offseason, which, if you're a smart GM, that's what you do. And Ryan Poles, while the opinion of him goes back and forth with some people, whether he's on the hot seat, whether he's not, it should be glaringly obvious to anybody that the one piece of this team that needs to improve is the offensive line, because we've seen Caleb perform at a high level when he has time in the pocket. And just to go back throughout this season, not to get off too much of a tangent, but he's been sacked five or more times in 1, 2, 3, four, five, six or seven games, if I counted right. Five or more times he's been sacked in 6 or 7 games this season. And that averages out to either 30 or 35 sacks on the year. And for some quarterbacks, that's the whole year. That 30 to 40 range, that's a normal year for them. And that's just in 6 or 7 games for Caleb Williams. I'm not sure where his sack total is at right now, but it's one of the highest that's ever occurred in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken. So that's, in long story short, that Seahawks game just proved once more that moving forward, if the attention is not put on the offensive line in free agency in the draft, then what's even the point? Caleb Williams is arguably the most talented quarterback we've ever had for Chicago, and if you're not going to protect him, then what's the point? But do you guys have anything in regards to the offensive line before we kind of move on to the other conversation we had planned? Isaac, go ahead.
Yeah, I got something. So Caleb Williams has been sacked 67 times this year, which is the second most in NFL history for I think in general. I don't know if it's just rookie quarterbacks, but I'm pretty sure it's in general. But like if whoever's listening, like I basically half my articles are about the Bears offensive line because of how bad it is. And I've grown to love writing about the Bears offensive line because I want to change it. Like I wish I was the person making the decisions, because it definitely wouldn't be how Ryan Poles is operating in terms of building up this offensive line. The Bears are 31st in the NFL on offensive lineman payroll. So they're the second cheapest offensive line in the NFL. I mean, what do you expect? Like, How come Brian Poles did all these moves, traded for Keenan Allen, drafted Rome Odunze, signed DeAndre Swift, and he forgot the most important part, which is building the offensive line. It pains, like, it literally is probably one of the most annoying things watching this team and knowing that we could have made the right decisions and addressing the offensive line, and this could have all been different. It really could have been. So, I mean, this, but we're gonna get into it later, but Ryan Poles, like, he's on a thin leash and he has to make the right moves this offseason, because if not, a lot of Bears fans are gonna be on his head, which they already are. But it's just, it pains me to see Caleb Williams take all these sacks when most of them are on the offensive line and not him. I mean, he is, like, the granted, there is some sacks that he takes that he should have just either thrown the ball away or thrown the ball faster. But yeah, it just sucks to see that, like, we're against the Seahawks, how we have Larry Borum, probably one of the worst offensive linemen I've ever seen in my whole life, at left tackle. And then Jake Curran, where he had two costly penalties. I mean, Caleb Williams had one of the best touchdown passes we've probably seen from him this season, and it got neglected because of a penalty from Curran. So, I mean, I really hope that this offseason that Ryan Poles realizes that he really needs to invest in the offensive line, both through free agency and the draft, but we'll see. But that's basically my thoughts on the whole Bears offensive line situation.
Yeah, it's, as you said, it's, if you don't address it in the offseason, there's no chance, you know, that you have to be tough up front to win football games. But in the days leading up to the Seahawks game on Thursday Night Football, it was reported by multiple people that Pete Carroll is interested in returning to an NFL sideline, and that the Bears, to him at least, seem to be an intriguing spot to land. Joe, I'll start with you first. I want to get your thoughts on a potential Pete Carroll to Chicago situation, and what would that look like, and what is your stance on Pete Carroll returning to the NFL and for Chicago?
Okay, well, two things. Well, first of all, it is kind of interesting that Pete Carroll needs to make himself known that he would be interested in jobs again. It kind of sounds like the same thing with Belichick this year. It's a little bit different, but it's kind of similar, because, like, he's an established coach, so you'd figure teams would automatically want to interview him. But I also kind of thought he was retired after he left last year. So knowing that he's not, I guess, I mean, I'm a fan, so I guess that makes sense that I didn't know that he wasn't retired. You figure that NFL organizations would know that he's not retired. But still, I think it's interesting that he had to announce himself. With that being said, though, if the Bears don't at least talk to him, it's a missed opportunity. Like, it was a missed opportunity that they didn't talk to Belichick. But you got to talk to Pete Carroll. And even if you don't hire him, hopefully you learn stuff that you could be doing better, because the Bears organization is a joke. We all know it. It sucks. It used to be same old Lions. Now it's just same old Bears. So we're where the Lions were. But does that mean that we finally turn it around? I don't know. Maybe. Hopefully. But yeah, I would talk to Pete Carroll. Now, if I want him hired is a tricky situation, because if from everything you hear, it sounds like he's a very young guy at heart. So, like, sure, he'd be great around our guys. But also, he's 73. How long is he going to be coaching? If it's 2 to 3 years, you got to hopefully someone in the organization that he hires to be an assistant coach or a coordinator could come in when he's gone and take over. But that's going to be that's a risk that you need to be willing to take. And I don't know if I am, with how the Bears have been over the past decade, I guess for my whole lifetime, but kind of the best decade since Lovie Smith left. So I don't know if I would hire Pete Carroll, even though I do like Pete Carroll a lot. But obviously we know what he did in Seattle, although he should have ran that ball in the fourth and goal and not throwing the interception with Russell Wilson. But yeah, I wouldn't hate a Pete Carroll hire, but he's not my first option. What about you, Isaac?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's always good to talk to established head coaches that have won Super Bowls, like Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll. I'm not sure if the Bears are actually interested in hiring Pete Carroll as head coach. I feel like it's more like they've learned their lesson and they're like, okay, let's bring in Pete and let's talk to him, maybe get some insight about just how to, go about signing head coaches or how to deal with players and stuff like that. Ask him, hey, how can we put ourselves in a position to be successful and not end up in the spot that we are now, but I mean, besides that, nothing. If the Bears were to actually hire Pete Carroll, I don't know if I'll be necessarily excited about it because Pete Carroll is pretty old, and I don't know how much longer he has left to coach. I don't know if he's able to coach at a high level, and it would have to be other factors that go into this, like he would have to find an offensive coordinator and stuff like that. So, I mean, I do want the Bears to at least talk to him because I feel like they're not gonna just be that team where it's like, okay, let's just hire Pete Carroll because he's won a Super Bowl and blah blah blah. But Eli, did you have any thoughts on the Pete Carroll thing with the Bears?
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you guys. There's never a downside to learning more information from an established guy in the NFL. Yeah, I'm sure he's got a lot on his approach if he were hired to Caleb Williams and everything like that. And as you mentioned, won a Super Bowl, worked with Russell Wilson, who, in his prime, maybe had a similar style to Caleb Williams' play. And also, this is kind of a lesser thing, but Pete Carroll was the head coach at USC for a long time prior to entering the NFL. So maybe there's a little chemistry factor there. Obviously, Caleb never having played for Pete Carroll, but it is something in regard to the chemistry there that if he were hired, that could be something that would be beneficial to Caleb Williams. But yeah, I'm of the same mindset as you, Joe. Not my first option, but I think you could do a lot worse. When it comes to a head coaching hire for the Bears. But yeah, I'd say bring him in, talk to him, see what he thinks of Caleb Williams, see what he thinks of the state of the offensive line, whether it's, where does the blame lie? Is it the coaching staff not putting the players in the best possible situation to succeed? Where the defense is at, just get his brain. I can't remember what the phrase is. Comb his brain, whatever it's called, to see
Pick
what
his
he thinks.
brain.
There you go. Pick his brain.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. Pick his brain to see what he thinks of the current state of the Bears. That's a guy that's been there and done that at both the collegiate and the professional level. So, yeah, pick his brain for a wealth of information in regards to football in general. That's where my head's at with that. But with that being said, do you guys have anything else with the Pete Carroll conversation? A lot of good head coaching candidates out there, and that's an interesting one for sure. That he put his name out there back into the airwaves there. But we will move on to kind of the conversation around Ryan Poles right now. Now, again, as I mentioned earlier, it seems like this fan base is kind of split right now, just like it was last season with Justin Fields. But now, in regards to Ryan Poles, it seems like there's two sides to this, to where everybody that was super confident in Ryan Poles has now kind of wavered a bit. And they think that if a guy like Ben Johnson came in and wanted a new GM, then Poles should be seen the door. And then there are others who have just remained with him steadfast and thinks that he's the guy for the job and just needs another year to kind of bolster this offensive line. But it was reported by Albert Breer that the McCaskey family has, a lot of confidence in Ryan wants him to spearhead the operation here when it comes to picking the next head coach, and kind of wants Kevin Warren to take a back seat, but also still have a pretty big voice in this. It was again reported by Albert Breer. I'll have to pull that up here in a second for the full quotes and everything like that. But Isaac, I'll start with you. Do you have any thoughts in regards to the McCaskey family kind of putting a vote of confidence in Ryan Poles moving forward this offseason?
Yeah, I actually got the snippet. I'll read it right now. So Albert Breer was saying, The biggest question that prime candidates have about is about the role of the team. President Kevin Warren, and I think that the McCaskey family is aware of that. To that end, GM Ryan Poles is set up to run point on the search, and I'm told it's because that's the way ownership wants it. Warren will have a seat at the table and a major say, of course, but Poles will too as the McCaskeys seek alignment on the football operations side. Now, at first, it's like, okay, maybe they are trying to do things the right way, but when I think about it, it's like the same bad owners, the McCaskey family, want the same, GM that's obviously hasn't produced either through free agency, draft, how whatever it is. They want him to hire the next head coach, which I don't know. I was a big Ryan Poles fan in the beginning, but now I'm kind of like one of those fans where it's like I feel like the it's time to move on. And they were saying like Ben Johnson is okay with if Ryan Poles is still the GM, like he'll be able to work with him and stuff like that. Now, I don't know if it's just because it's the Bears and the Bears never make right decisions, but I've thought for once that they were heading in the right direction. Like, okay, let's just get rid of Poles. Let's get rid of Eberflus. Let's start over. Let's find alignment in the sense that we're hiring the same head coach and the same GM in the same year. But I don't know what the McCaskey family means by alignment. Why by keeping the GM that we've had for a couple seasons and then hire a new head coach, and then we have a second year quarterback that is going into his second year, and it's like there's no really alignment there for me. I mean, I like I was talking to my dad about this the other day. Ryan Poles had two big responsibilities. One was to tear down the team, and two was to build it back up. He did a really good job at doing one of those things, which was tearing down the team, and he has not done a good job building the team back up. I don't know, for in my opinion, my personal opinion, I feel like we need a fresh voice at GM. We need someone with new ideas, someone that knows how to build a roster up. And I don't know if that's Ryan Poles, because I don't know if I can trust him anymore. I feel like he's made too many mistakes where it just like boneheaded decisions that I was mentioning earlier. Like, how can you not address the offensive line in 3 seasons? You had 3 seasons to build an offensive line, and you failed to do that. And it's not like, I mean, Caleb Williams basically fell into Ryan Poles' lap. Like, that was the right decision to do, to move on off from Justin Fields and draft Caleb Williams. I mean, I don't know. It's annoying, and I don't know why the McCaskey family continues to make the wrong decisions, but at this point, you can't really do anything. You gotta just hope and wish that Ryan Poles can make the right decisions after 3 seasons. But I'm gonna toss it over to you, Joe. Give us your thoughts on the whole Ryan Poles situation going on right now with the Bears.
Okay, yeah. So the Albert Breer quote basically doesn't confirm, but kind of confirms that the likely scenario is that Poles will be extended. So yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I kind of went back on my word when I started criticizing Poles, because I think we all thought he built a good roster coming in the season. So like, And then, as fans do, we all went back on that when the Bears started to be bad. But I heard someone, I don't know if you guys know who Herb Howard is, but he made this point, and it's a really good point. Going back on what you said, like retracting your statement from what you said earlier in the season, like you should stand pat with what you said. And yeah, I kind of agree with that. Going back on the word on what everyone thought at the beginning of the season, because we all thought it. We all thought the Bears were going to be good, because Poles had built a roster, at least on offense, besides the line, that was good. But we all figured that, okay, the line may not be good, but Caleb will get the ball out fast and get the ball to his playmakers, which he hasn't really done. Which, again, we as Bears fans, A, should have seen that coming because the offensive line isn't good. But even more, as NFL fans, if you watched Patrick Mahomes that year that his offensive line got hurt in the playoffs in the Super Bowl, he's the best quarterback in, well, at that point, he was the second best quarterback in the league because already was still in the league. But even so, he had no line. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he still was not able to do anything. He was okay, not doing anything. He played decently, but he wasn't able to get his team to a victory because he had no line, and he had trouble getting the ball to his playmakers. So we should have seen that coming with the Bears, especially because his offensive line talent was definitely worse this season than the offensive line talent that the Chiefs had in that Super Bowl. But we didn't. So that's on us. But like going back on what we said, we shouldn't be doing that. I think think you have to give Poles the benefit on the offensive line. He's tried to fix it and it hasn't went well. The Nate Davis thing didn't go well. Everyone he's drafted hasn't turned out well. Now, should we have faith that he's going to be do a good job at fixing this offseason? Probably not. But we could hope that he has the right people in the free agency and in the draft. We just have to wait. But I mean, your point about aligning the GM and head coach makes sense, Isaac, because like if Ben Johnson says, "Hey, I'm only coming if Poles is fired," you gotta fire Poles. Just because he's the best, we've talked about it, he's the best candidate out there. If he wants to bring his own people in, that makes sense, especially if it's gonna be the assistant GM of Detroit, because he knows how to build it. He was seeing how Detroit built themselves back up. But sans that happening, I do think that keeping Poles might be just the smartest decision. Like I said, who knows if he's going to actually be able to build the offensive lineup. And at that point, you can't really fire Poles if he doesn't do a good job at building the offensive lineup after this year, because you would have just extended him probably for another 4 years, or at least two, probably another four. So it's not going to be a smart move, and I don't think McKessie would do that because they don't want to be paying a guy on a contract that if he's not working for them. So yeah, that's my thoughts on the Ryan situation and the Albert Breer. Well, how about you, Eli? What do you think about this?
Yeah, you bring up a lot of great points with, standing on your word. And I do agree. I think the vast majority of us thought the Bears at the very least were going to be competing in December, at that 9-win range, trying to sneak into the playoffs. I had the Bears at 9-8 going into this year. I thought there was still, I thought there was a lot of what's the word? Potential for this team to be good. I thought they were still a few pieces away. And I do agree. I think Ryan Poles tried to address some of the needs in the offseason. Now, I don't think, well, maybe you could have predicted the whole Nate Davis situation because there were reports that, he didn't like to practice and his work ethic was a little here and there. But I think from last year, the whole situation with Nate Davis's family and everything like that, I think that kind of gave people a kind of a they felt kind of apathy towards that, so they were willing to give Nate Davis more a longer leash. And then this year, he just completely came out flat and didn't do anything for the Bears whatsoever, and would have the fake injuries and everything like that, and just wouldn't contribute to this team in any way. So maybe you could have seen that coming. But again, Ryan Poles did try to address those positions and everything like that. It's a tough conversation because I do agree if Ben Johnson says, I love the situation, I love your quarterback, and I think you have a lot of offensive playmakers, but I want my guy and my talent evaluators in this building, then I think it's a no-brainer. You've got to get rid of Poles. I don't think he's a bad GM. But if that's the situation that it comes to, then yeah, it's a no-brainer. But if they do retain polls, which is it seems like it's going to happen, at least in my opinion, I think at the very least, you have to at least look at the training staff with all of these injuries and stuff like that. You've got to evaluate that from top to bottom, which seems like a conversation they have every year, and they say they fix it, but I The whole Jaquan Brisker thing sticks out to me in a major way. He has a history of injuries with his brain and everything like that, but I just don't know how that situation got to where it was. And then, Tevin had a history of back injuries when he was drafted, but surely you've got to have a staff that can make the right call and say, okay, let him sit for a year. He's a talented player. Let him sit. Let him recover. Give him a certain rehab to where this back injury won't play as big of a factor, but it has again this season. So, this is kind of off topic, but Ryan Poles, maybe next year at the very least, if he is the GM, can take a look at the lower level stuff that kind of works its way upward for this team, at the very least. But yeah, that's kind of my opinion on the whole Ryan Poles thing. But with that being said, maybe one more thing that I kind of wanted to talk about, and this will be a tease for the offseason kind of talk. But I think no matter who the GM is next year, I think the easiest thing in the world that you can do to kind of either continue your career with the Bears or start it is to extend Kyler Gordon, because that dude this season has played lights out, and he's been relatively healthy from what I remember. So I'll toss it to you, Isaac. To me, it seems like a no-brainer, but what do you think of extending Kyler Gordon as soon as it becomes possible?
Absolutely, 100%. He is one of our best players on defense. I love watching him play. He's one of the only guys, I feel like, besides TJ Edwards this season that has put in 100% effort every game, no matter what. I think, having a slot cornerback like of Kyler Gordon's caliber is such a commodity in the NFL, and I don't know why the Bears would even think about just letting him go. I feel like a lot of fans are agree with you and I on this, Eli, that it's a no-brainer. I think the Bears should re-sign him as soon as possible. And Joe, I want to get your thoughts. What do you think on the Bears potentially re-signing Kyler Gordon?
Yeah, you can't not. I mean, he's too good. I mean, he missed, I think, two or three games this year. He got hurt in London, and then I think after the bye, he missed two more games. But other than that, I mean, he's played really well. He brings the energy. He had that turnover, that was called a touchdown originally, but then brought back because he was down by contact against the Seahawks. That if it was a touchdown, we would have won that game. But whatever. But yeah, you can't let him go. I mean, you've got to sign him. He's probably Poole's best draft pick. Yeah, I mean, you can consider Brisker there too, because when Brisker's on the field, he's a great player, but he's not on the field all the time. So, Gordon's definitely at least more consistently on the field, which you can argue makes him a better draft pick. So yeah, I definitely sign Kyler Gordon. Yeah. Whoever the next coaches sign him right away, because I think his rookie deal's up after next season. How about you, Eli? Well, I know you gave your thoughts on Eli. I'll pass it back to you, though.
Yeah, I we're all in agreement. The dude is just all over the field. He's pretty good in coverage, and it seems like he hasn't even scratched the surface of what he can be. I think he's, especially with, the carousel right now with the defense and at the coordinator position and everything like that. But yeah, I think it's a no-brainer just to extend that guy, because he is an integral piece to your defense. One more. And this might get lengthy, so maybe try to keep it as brief as possible, because we have talked about it before. But on the flip side, Kyler Gordon's a no-brainer, and it seems like a lot of people's opinions are different than what we've had. But with Tevin Jenkins, do you extend him at the end of the year? I know my answer is no, but I've seen a lot of people on Twitter have the opposite opinion. When he's healthy, he's a great guard. I'll start with you, Joe, this time. Do you extend Tevin Jenkins at the end of the year?
Yeah, like you said, we've talked about this a lot. I flipped back and forth. I think at the beginning of the year, I said yes if he plays most of the games and doesn't get hurt a ton. I mean, he's played through injuries a lot this year. He hasn't had the best year, though, even when he's healthy. I mean, he's played decent, but he hasn't been the same guy that we've seen of the last like 3 years of his first 3 years of his career. So I don't know, like, again, I think we've all said if well at some point we said if we can get him on a team friendly deal. He doesn't want to break the bank, then maybe. But again, that's only if he's okay coming back as a backup, because I think you gotta replace him and get someone who can play all 17 games. And then if that guy goes out, Kevin could hopefully come in and for one game or supporter to not get hurt. And hopefully that would be sufficient enough as a backup option, because we've seen our backup offensive line this year not really good at all. Besides, I can't remember the dude's name. Right, not right. I can't remember the guy's name, but I think we all, the guy that came in for Nate Davis, who's
Are
playing good
you
this
talking
year.
about Bill Murray or Matt Pryor?
Matt Pryor is who I'm
There you
talking
go.
about. I can't
Yep.
think of his name. Thank you. That's bad on me. I should know that. I should know every Bears player. I just don't. Matt Pryor. But yeah, he's been probably the best backup offensive lineman that we've had this year. But I think if you can keep Kevin on a team friendly deal and have him be a backup, I would do that. If you can't, then just move on. I'll pass it to you, Isaac. What do you think?
Really quick, just going back to the Kyler Gordon conversation. It's funny that you guys mentioned that Ryan Poles' best draft pick is Kyler Gordon, because that was Ryan Poles' first draft pick. Like, that was the first player he's ever drafted for the Bears. And it's kind of sad because the best player you drafted was the first player you drafted. Like, I don't know if it should be the opposite, you know, like later in your career, you draft better players. But in regards to Tevin Jenkins, I'll be pretty short. You know, thinking about it, like, we have a lot of free agents that we have to think about re-signing, and they're mostly depth guys. But I would rather re-sign Keenan Allen. If I had to choose, okay, there's Tevin Jenkins on the team friendly deal or Keenan Allen on a team friendly deal, which one would you choose? I think I would choose Keenan Allen, just because I feel like the Bears offensive line has so much work that needs to be done, and the last thing I want is to re-sign a guy that isn't available consistently, like Tevin Jenkins. Like, we could all agree that he's a really good player when he's on the field, but that's the thing, he's not really on the field that much. And I wish him the best. Like, I think he's such a good player. I think he's such a good person too, from what I've seen, like just how he acts on the field, off the field. I really wish him a lot of success wherever he goes, but I just don't think the Bears are the right place for him. So I think it's time for the Bears to move on. I think it's time for Tevin to move on. Hopefully he could find a team that he's able to just be, you know, healthier and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't think the Bears should re-sign Tevin Jenkins. And I'll toss it over to you, Eli. What are your thoughts on, you know, the whole Tevin Jenkins situation?
Yeah, I think I'm you guys both make great points, and I agree that Joe, if he's willing to take a team friendly deal to be a backup, it seems like he wants to be here, and he's willing to fight through those injuries to be a Chicago Bear. But I agree, if he comes back, I think it should be in some backup capacity, just because he cannot stay healthy. I think that's just a part of who he is now. I think at a certain point, your body can only take so much. And I think that's the point he's at. So if he's willing to come back and be a Chicago Bear as a backup and be a veteran experience in that locker room for incoming offensive linemen, go for it. But yeah, Isaac, if he does want top guard money, and he thinks that, you know, he fought through injury and he played well enough to deserve an extension, yeah, I think he's out the door. I think there are several teams around the NFL that would look into signing him. So yeah, I wish him the best. If that's the situation he finds himself in. But I'm not 100% sure. It'll be interesting to see how that develops throughout the offseason with Tevin Jenkins. But one more thing before we head out of here. There are two records that Caleb Williams could possibly break in Week 18, and that is the third and fourth highest single season passing yards record, both held by Jay Cutler, at 3,659 passing yards and 3,666 passing yards. And I think for Caleb to move up to fourth, he's currently fifth all time as a rookie. For him to move up to fourth, he needs 267 passing yards, and then an additional seven, which would be 274 passing yards, to move up to third all time. So, you know, it's a broken season, But that would be kind of cool for Caleb to finish third all time in Bears passing yards as a rookie, at least in a single season, I mean. That's a small little sliver that we can look for in week 18 against Green Bay. But with that being said, do you guys have anything else? Want to comment on the passing yards record or anything like that before we get out of here? All right, so I think that's going to do it. We will face Green Bay in week 18. Now, I am not 100% certain if they're still fighting for seeding purposes, so I'm not sure if their starters will play in week 18, if they think it's necessary or not. So that's going to be something to look out for in the coming days. But we do face Green Bay, so if they do play starters, maybe, again, that's a little small sliver of things that we can look out for if we can screw up Green Bay seeding to where they don't want to. I think, and I won't get into this too much, but I think it's split on whether they play Green Bay or Tampa right now. I think depending on where they're at, I couldn't be 100% certain. But anyway, we will play Green Bay in week 18, and we'll preface that and everything like that on our next episode. So with that being said, this has been the Bear Down Buzz, and we will see you as we preview that matchup against Green Bay next episode.